24 and verse 27, we're going to look at that and see what God has to say to your heart and my heart tonight or today. Luke 24:27, God speaks an unchanging message. There's a lot that changes, but I can tell you something, God never changes. Amen? Amen. You can take it and cash it in and take it to the bank and understand that God's word and God's love and who God is, it doesn't change. We might change, things around us change, and methods might change, but God never changes. His word never changes. Are you with me this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you excited about being in God's house? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm getting worried about you. I'm over here talking, wasn't getting no response. Y'all know me. We in God's house. It's something to be excited about and happy about. Amen.
Amen.
Not only that, but man, look at all the young people graduating. That's something to be excited about. Amen.
Amen.
TJ and Cheyenne got baptized. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me this morning? Say it's exciting. Amen. Amen. All right, I just got to make sure y'all with me today. God is blessed in a great and mighty way, and it's exciting to be in God's house, exciting to see God speaks an unchanging message. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As I said, Luke 24:27. Our Father and our God, Lord, we are thankful. God, thankful for what you're doing in the midst of us. God, thank you for the excitement of the baptism with TJ and Cheyenne, God, and just blessing their families and their lives. God, thank you for our graduating class of 2013, God, with all the accomplishment and the accolades that they've received through all the years of their schooling, God, and to this point of graduating. God, we thank you for them. And God, thank you that they're in church, God, and that their families are in church and raising them in a godly way, in a godly method, the Lord. And God, we thank you for them. God, thank you for all that are here today that you brought our way, family and friends and guests and visitors. God, we thank you for them. God, I pray a special blessing upon them today, that God, you will fill this place again with your power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God, that you anoint the reading of your word. God, it's your word. And God, I pray that you will anoint it as we read it today, that your word will be anointed and it will go forward. God, it accomplished that which is pleasing and honoring to you. That God, we will be changed individuals from what we walked in here as. God, we've been fighting through the world all week. But God, may we lay that aside. God, may we be renewed, refreshed, revived, and re-energized, the Lord, after we leave here today, that we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God, we pray that you bind Satan up, defeat him, Father, cast him away. He's not welcome here. And God, give us a freedom to preach your word today. Give us a freedom to worship you, God, in spirit and in truth. God, let your Holy Spirit rule and reign in our lives. God, we welcome you into this place, God. You are exalted. You are our guest of honor, God. And we thank you for meeting us here today. God, thank you for meeting us through the praise songs and the worship songs. God, thank you for meeting us through the family time and to graduate seniors, the Lord. Thank you. God, now's the time for your word. As we open it up again, may you anoint it. God, may we look at your word and apply it and understand that, God, you speak an unchanging message. Your word doesn't change. God, things change all around us, but your message don't. God, may we apply that message to our heart and life today. May we see what it is in your word that you have desired for us to see. God, may we open up our hearts and our minds, and God, and ask you, as we are reading your word, God, that you would speak to our heart, the Lord, and speak to our minds. And God, help us today to understand you in a better way. God, we praise you. We give you the honor and glory. And all God's people said, amen. Luke 24:27. God speaks an unchanging message. In Luke 24:27, it says this. It says, "In the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he interpreted, he expounded, he taught them unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." God speaks an unchanging message. I want you to understand today that God speaks to your heart and my heart. God speaks to us in many ways, and many ways of doing that, that he challenges us through his word. He challenges us through creation and life itself. Understanding God speaks to you and me. God makes himself known to us. God reveals himself to us, if we're just mindful of that, if we will open up our hearts and minds and be encouraged that God sent his son to die for you and me, that because he wanted a relationship with you and me. God created man because he wanted man and woman to have a relationship relationship with Him. And so God speaks to us, and God's message is an unchanging message, and God wants to reveal Himself to you and me. When God speaks, He has only one message in mind, which is applicable to all people, my friends. He said that He would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has one message, and everything in the message was tied and pointed back to the Son of God and what Jesus has done for your life and my life. It applies to all of us. God's message is clear. He has made mankind for a relationship with Himself that we know, we love, we serve, we honor Him, my friend, and we glorify Him in everything we say and do. God wants that kind of relationship with you and me, and He makes Himself known to us. He reveals Himself to us if we're open to it. Number one, if you're taking notes in this, God has revealed Himself from the beginning. From the beginning of time, God has revealed Himself. Look back at verse 27 again. He said, in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all scriptures. He expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning Himself. Oh, my friends, since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the world, God has wanted a relationship with you and I. That is the reason He created mankind. That is the reason He created man and woman, my friend, because He wanted a relationship with us. He wanted a relationship with you and I. And my friend, that's what He did since the beginning of time. God has spoken to man. God speaks through His creation of Himself. God speaks to you and I. Understand this morning, He wants a relationship with you. He desires a relationship with you. He created you and me with us in mind to create that relationship with Him. His message is unchanging, my friend. His message is true, and He desires to have a relationship with you and me. God speaks, as I said, through creation. You can see His handiwork all around, my friends. If you open up your eyes and just look at creation and look at what God has done, you will see His handiwork everywhere if you open up. He tells us in Romans chapter 1, in verse 19 and 20, He says this. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest what? Is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For God has showed it unto them. In verse 20 He says, for the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even unto the power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse, my friends. Listen to me. God reveals Himself to me. I've had people ask before, what about those folks that are in the deepest part of the jungle in Africa where nobody has ever went and don't even know if there's life existing there? I said, my friends, if life is existing there, I serve a sovereign God that He says He would, that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. And in the invisible Amen. Things, and in the invisible things of this world, in creation, He makes Himself known. That the world are clearly seen. He says, for the invisible things in Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's only one way that when we stand before the Lord, my friend, that we can be without excuse, and that is if Jesus makes Himself known to all men. As if Jesus makes Himself known to all creation, and understand He loves everyone. As I said, He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. God makes Himself known to creation that He created. The creation that He created. God makes Himself known, my friends, so that when we stand before Him, oh, we stand before Him without excuse. God makes Himself known. Oh, He revealed Himself in ways and purposes to man. He spoke to Adam, my friends, revealed Himself to Adam and spoke to him as he walked and lived among the garden. When you think of Genesis 2 and verse 16 through 18, you'll see it says, and the Lord God commanded the man. If He commanded a man, He had to speak something unto him. Commanded a man, saying. Saying means speak of every tree of the garden. Thou mayest freely eat. And He goes on in verse 17 and following and says, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, He says, thou shalt not eat. He's talking to him. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. He goes on to say in verse 18, and the Lord God what? Said again, He spoke. He reveals himself to you and me. God speaks to us. How does he speak? He speaks to us through his word. As I preached last Wednesday in Psalms, that he speaks to us sometimes through a still small voice. He speaks to us. He reveals himself to you. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. God wants that relationship for you and me. He spoke to man. He still speaks to us today. And my friend, he wants to help us and wants us to be a part of his life. I think of God speaking to Moses in the burning bush. There's several different places in Scripture where it's evident that God spoke to mankind, that God speaks to you and me. If we would just open up our heart and open up our minds and get in God's word and have a prayer time and a study time, God will reveal himself to you. God will speak to him. Young folks that are graduating my class of 2013, understand you want to know direction in your life. Understand you want to know what God has in store for you. My friend, get in his word. Read his word. Have a prayer time with him. God will direct your paths. God will show you the way to go, not only for our graduating class, but for you and me that are in here today. We want to know what God's will is. God will direct our paths. Just as he spoke to Moses in the burning bush, I think about in Exodus 33:11. This is amazing. When I read this, man, I got excited. I got excited about it. But it don't take me much to get excited about God's word. Anyhow, amen. What about you? Amen. Oh, listen to what he said in Exodus 33:11. He said, and the Lord what? Spoke. He spake. He spoke unto Moses what? Boy, I just about jumped off this thing. Rick looked at me and I was about to have a shouting fit up here. God spoke to Moses, and how did he speak to him? He spoke to him as a man. He spoke to him face to face. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine? That's the kind of relationship the Lord wants to have with you and me, to reveal himself to us. God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. As a man speaks unto a friend. That's an amazing relationship. That's the kind of relationship that God intends to have in your life and my life. He wants to speak to us. He wants that intimate relationship with you and me. Are we willing to open up our heart, open up our mind, and receive what it is that God wants to do in your life and my life? It's amazing when you open up your life to him and let him reveal to you what it is that he wants to do in your life and speak to you through his word, through songs, through individuals. God wants to encourage you. God wants to speak to you today. God wants you to know that he's real, he's alive, and he's well, and he's desirous to have a relationship with you and me. He's desirous to have a relationship with us and speak to us, my friend, as he said. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. God spoke to his prophets by his spirit, commanding them to write down the scriptures as he was giving it to them. And God laid it to them that they may pass it on to future generations. Oh, listen, I thank you, mamas and daddies, here today that have brought your graduating class of 2013. How you've had them in church. How you raised them in church. How you brought them up. And you saw the lined up here with the boys and girls, my friend, young adults now, that God has ministered to. And it's because mama and daddies chose that they were going to bring them up in a godly way that would have an impact in their life, because they're the next future of the next church, my friends. The church you've seen this morning was gathered up here with the class of 2013. Thank you, mom and daddies, for bringing them in church and showing them a better way of living, showing them a godly way of living. My friend, that they can have an impact in society. I don't know. Maybe you was looking at the next president up here. Maybe you was looking at the next county commissioner, city commissioner, next school board superintendent. My friends, that could be the ones that were lined up here today. Aren't you glad to know that there were some Christians lined up today that if they ran for our office, they would have our vote. Amen? Amen. Oh, listen, God wants to reveal himself to you and me. Oh, just as he did, revealed himself to the prophet. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20 through 21 says this. Says, knowing the first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And verse 21 goes on to say, for the prophecy came not in old time by the what? By the will of man, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. My friend, every time I come here, every time I have a chance to open up God's Word and read it, I pray that God moves. The Holy Spirit moves in your life, in my life, as we deliver the Word of God. God, breathe upon them. God, let your Holy Spirit move up in our life today. God, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Fill me with the words you desire me to say. God, move in our life today. God, as we open up your Word, may your Word go forward, move through your Word with power and authority that only you can do, God. Move in your Word. Let your Word, as you say in Hebrews, let it cut. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it cut. Let it pierce our life, God, where we need to move. God, move in your house today. God, move in our spirit today. God, move in your house, which is our body. Our body is the temple that houses the Lord Jesus. God, move inside of us today. Let turn us loose and set us free. Oh, maybe if he did that today, my friend, all the Baptists will be shouting around here. Amen. Amen. It's shouting time. Move in our hearts, Lord. Move in our lives. Move in us today, Lord. Let us be what you desire us to be. God, take your Word. Move in our lives today. Oh, for the prophecy came, not in old time, but by the will of man, but by holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God spoke to them in various ways, in various times. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it says this. It said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake, or various ways spake, in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He said, hath in those last days spoken unto us. Woo! By what? Spoken unto us by his Son. Spoken unto us by his Son, whom hath appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Oh, listen to me. I never forget, young folks, graduating class of 2013. This is all for you. But I never forget that Katie Miller. She called me up after being at South Florida in school after about 6 months. She called me up, and I believe she had some kind of humanities class or something like that. And the professor got on the subject, and they got to talking about creation and things of that nature. And it was exactly blatantly against what the Word of God said. Katie, you in here? Blatantly against what God's Word said. And Katie called me up, and she said, Pastor Tim, we got a break. She said, and I challenged the professor. He challenged me back. He said, while you got a break, prove to me what you got to say. And Katie said, all right. She got a break. She went outside, and she called me on the cell phone. Pastor Tim, we got 30 minutes. Can you get down here? I said, I ain't got a jet, baby. But she said, we got 30 minutes. I said, what did he say? She said what he said, and I Googled it to understand what he said. And I Googled it up and figured out what he said. And then we got in the Word of God and counteracted what he was saying. I emailed it to her. She got it. She went back to class. And about 2 hours later, she called me. She said the professor dismissed everybody in the class and asked me to stay behind. And I said, yeah. Amen. He said, when I stayed behind, he said everybody else flunked the class and I got a 100. And I said, wow. Yeah. I said, wow. I say this to you, class of 2013. It was a test from the professor to see if the kids were going to do research on what he said and come back with the truth of reality. Amen. Listen to me. There were 17 kids that went out, did no research, took the professor at face value. Katie went out, did the research, and came back, and that's exactly what the professor was looking for. And she got 100 on the class, and everybody else failed. Oh, listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Sometimes Satan comes in many different forms and fashions to test. And my friend, we got to stand the test of time. And you can stand when it's faced in the Word of God. And when it's proven in the Word of God, you can stand that time, my friend, because God's Word was spoke to us and God continues to speak in our lives through the Son of God to reveal to us what he wants us to do in our life. And it said, and he is the heir of all things, by whom also made the worlds. God is the one my friend, that took the initiative to reveal himself to mankind. God is the one that took the initiative to reveal himself to mankind. Let that sink in. What does that mean? That means you are precious in his sight. That means you are fearfully and wonderfully made, according to what Psalms tells me. Amen. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the eyes of God. Don't let nobody tell you you ain't worth nothing, because in God's eyes, you're worth everything, even the death of a cross. My friend, you were worth it all. You were worth it all because he gave his all for you and for me and for all that would accept him. My friend, understand, it doesn't matter what society says. It matters what thus saith the word of God says. And God says you're worth something. Adults in here, God says you're worth something. God says he loves you. He loved you just enough that he opened up his arms wide and freely was nailed to the cross for you and me. My friend, he could have called 10,000s of angels to come and wipe out the population of mankind and come up off that cross just by speaking the word. But he loves you enough that he laid his life down willingly. He loves you enough that he wanted to reveal himself to you and me so that we would know what God had in store for us. Oh, not only that, but so many people look for direction in life. And one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. My friends, you want direction in life. My friends, the scripture says it and gives us direction in life. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Oh, y'all looking out there today. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Oh, your heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your paths. You're looking for direction in life. Seek the Lord. Acknowledge him. Ask God to give you direction in life. God, I need to know what it is you want me to do. As a graduating class of 2013, some of them told me what they're going to do. Some of them's going on off into a police academy, and some of them's going to be a teacher at a school, and some of them's doing, you know, different things. Some of them's going to trade school, Tulsa, Oklahoma, whatever it is, for welding and things of that nature. I said, that's awesome. Do what all you're going to do with everything in you. Be the best you can be, my friend, and get your schooling in and get a job. And God will bless you in your endeavor. And it's exciting to hear that, my friend. Some of us, my friend, might be questioning what is direction for us in our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all the ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You're looking for direction, my friend. Seek direction from the Lord. Seek direction in him. Not only that, but number two, God's revelation has always pointed to Christ. God's revelation has always pointed to Christ, my friends. And the same thing that you and I should do in our lives, my friend, we should point people to the Lord. At the beginning, in verse 27 again, it said in Luke 24, 27, in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scripture the things concerning himself. God's revelation and his redemptive plan began small. It began small. A promised seed that would come from a woman. In Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise thy heel. I sit in there and I listen in on the Sunday school class on E4. And the last two Sundays, Steve has tried to preach my message in E4. He's tried to preach it. I heard him this morning talk about small things. How things start small, depending on what it is that we deal with in life. It could be troubles, it can be problems and things of that nature. It starts small, but we don't take care of it when it's small. We wait until it becomes a volcano and explodes on everybody before we take care of it. But Steve was talking about in Sunday school how things start small. And I thought about, buddy, he's right on target. Because in Genesis, as we said, it started small. It started with a seed. And my friend, it blossomed into something that is, my friend, amazing to you and me with the blood of Jesus that he did for us. It started something small. It started with something small. And God expounded on it. Oh, listen to me. In Genesis 3:15, As I said, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All over time, God began to reveal and unfold his message and method to mankind. My friend, he did it through Abraham. He did it through Isaac. He did it through Jacob. He did it through Judah. He did it through David. And the list goes on and on and on about what the Lord wanted to do. Even at the end of the Old Testament, the readers in Jesus' day, they were looking up. They were looking for Jesus. They had a hope in him. They had a longing for him, for the one that could deliver Israel, God's people, disciples who walked along the road of Emmaus. My friend, they were talking about Jesus. As I preached a couple weeks ago, that the Jews were looking for signs and wonders. Jesus did it before them, and they chose to ignore it. That the Greeks were looking for wisdom and promise. God lit it out before them, and they chose to ignore it. And I think about Luke 24, verses 13. Through 21, where the Jesus had just been crucified, and they had him on the cross, and two men gathered together. And I read it with you instead of paraphrasing. It said, and behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 64 furlongs. Keep on, because I'm rolling. And they talked together all the things that which had happened. And it said, and it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They were talking about the accounts of the day. And Jesus had to join in with the walk. It said, but their eyes were holding that they should not see him or should not know him. And it said, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that have one to another as you walk and are sad? And he goes on to say, and to one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass therein in these days? Hast thou not known the things that have come to pass? And he said unto them, what things? Or they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And they were sitting there and they were questioning it. And he said, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him and condemned him to death and had crucified him. And he goes on to say in verse 21, but we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Oh, my friend, they were hoping for a Savior. They had one, and they crucified him. They had one, and they crucified him. And they were looking for an answer, for a hope. They were hoping that Jesus was the Messiah in verse 21. And yet it seemed their hope was lost. In verse 21 again, he said, but we trusted that he had been that which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. It is here that Jesus began to open up their eyes. Yeah. It is here, my friend, listen to me. Jesus wants to open up your eyes today. He wants to open up your heart today. He wants to reveal himself to you and to me. Will we open up our heart and life today? Understanding, my friend, as John 14, 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. Folks, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. Jesus is the only way. Will you accept that way? Oh, my friend, this is what he come to do for you and me. In closing, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 through 21. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21, he says this. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of what? God, who hath reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto sin, unto them. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And verse 20 says, now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ what? in Christ's stead, be ye what? Reconciled to God. And verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for who? For us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God, as I said, speaks an unchanging message. God has revealed himself to you and me, my friend. God has revealed himself. He wants to reveal himself, and he will reveal himself to us because he desires a relationship with you and me. Oh, God is a God who speaks. God is a God who reveals himself. He reveals his character, his purpose, and his plan. Are you and I willing to accept what God wants to reveal to your heart and my heart today? What God has revealed to us through his word. How God speaks to us. My friend, are we willing to open up our heart today and say, God, I've heard your word. God, I know that, God, you created me to have a relationship with me. How has your relationship been with the Lord? How has your quiet time been with the Lord? How has your Bible study been with the Lord? How has your prayer life been with the Lord? Have you been with the Lord? He's speaking to your heart today. He tells me in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man will open up that door, that heart's door, I will come in and sup with him and abide with him and him with me. Oh, my friends, God is revealing himself to you today. What are you going to do with God? What are you going to do with what he is revealing to you? Oh, will you open up your heart and accept what it is he wants to do in your life today? Oh, maybe you're here and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. You come. Come on, I share with you in Scripture what you must do to be saved. He said in Romans 10:13, my friend, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon him today? He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Call upon him today. Oh, let him reveal himself to you, my friend, in things of your life. Oh, he wants to reveal himself to you and be reconciled with you in your life. Not only that, but he wants us to be reconciled with one another. My friend, life is too short to go around being mad and angry at people all the time. It's not worth it. It'll do you in. It'll do you in. It'll do you in. Oh, will you let God reveal to you what it is he's speaking to you today? Oh, maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. I'd love to be your pastor. The family of God here would love to be your home. Maybe you want to grab your class of 2013 graduates as a mom and dad and come up here and pray for them at the altar. I think that's a wise decision. Maybe you want to, as mom and dad, grab your loved one and your graduating senior and bring them up and pray over them as mom and dad. Pray over them so that they know they got your love and they're backing and you're going to pray with them wherever they go. Maybe you just want to go as a church family and come up here and pray for one another. God, it is good sometimes we get up and pray. Amen.